Great, so maybe if I can just like quickly share just even the title as we start this morning on what's in my heart before we go into that. So the title for this morning, if you wanna make notes, is Let Your Love Grow Deep. Let Your Love Grow Deep. Great, so a very, very quick recap on just for those who've been here and even for those who haven't been here recently. We really want to be changed by God. As a church, we don't want to stay the way we are. So we don't want to just share a message. We don't just want to preach. We don't just want to teach something. And then a couple of months later, we look back and nothing changed. Do you agree with that? We are actually here to change, because when we allow God to change us, then actually we will grow to be so much more effective for God's kingdom. And I'm sure that's our hearts. And also for us to be changed so that we can look more like Jesus and to be prepared for the days coming back. So one of the words the Lord has given us recently in the last couple of weeks is really to focus on this thing where God says we need to listen to what He's saying to us. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What's the Holy Spirit saying to us as a church? And even what does God's Word say? Do we know what the Bible says? And we actually need to respond from our heart, out of relationship with Jesus, to be obedient to what God says. And we looked at a couple of things. And I just want to recap quickly again on Matthew 28. From 19 to 20, and this is something we know very well. So it's the Great Commission, and it says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of this age." So there was a whole preach that we focused on. We need to be people, every single one of us, that's living this out, that we are commissioned by the Lord to share the gospel, that our hearts will burn for people that doesn't know Jesus, to share the gospel with them, to get them from a place of slaves to sin into family, but also to love them. We are called to make disciples. So we often say this, we're not called to only make converts. As Jesus saves them, we need to pull them in, and we need to make sure that as we are disciples, we need to make disciples. Does that make sense? There's an actual place of we need to make disciples. It's not just we get saved and then we just float around for the rest of our lives. There's an active, something that we need to live out, this commission. And as we are being made more like Jesus through discipleship, every single one of us, can we say, honestly and truthfully this morning, we are effective in making disciples, because it's for all of us. So I want to get, that's what my heart for us is, like, how can we really make sure we are effective in as disciples? And I want to ask this rhetorical question, but please even raise your hand as I ask this. Who of you that's sitting here this morning wants to feel loved? Who wants to feel like, yes, I really want to feel loved, okay? Okay, who of you that's sitting here this morning wants to be people that make others really feel loved? Okay, isn't that something that we can all agree on? And it's so valuable. So I want to do a quick illustration. Elrich, you are the closest. You can be in the front. Who's also close? Leon, you're also in the front. Wait. For this example's sake, I'm going to need two guys. Elrich, you can come. And then Armand, you can also come. Okay, you need to think on your feet quickly now. I'm going to share a quick story. It's a story that really touched my heart. It's a beautiful story that I hope after this morning you will always always remember, okay? So the two of them are brothers. They are brothers in Christ, but for the story, they are brothers, and they are actually farming together. So you must act out the story that I'm going to tell, okay? They're farming together on the same farm. But they both live in a separate house, like two houses on this farm, okay? So he's in the day, he's farming, he's also farming for the same farm. And as they are working hard, they're taking a quick break. It's lunchtime, and after lunch, they continue to work hard in the fields, and they farm in and then. After a day of hard work, they gather in the same, they share a barn. They share the same storage room where they would go and put, you know, all the, whatever farming they did, they would go and make sure they put it in the same barn, okay? They would share it there. And as they continue, the one brother, so, oh, there's a detail that I skipped. This brother, he's actually married and he's got a lot of children and like family. Unfortunately, that's not the reality for him yet. He's in his big house, he's all alone, he's single, he's all alone, and he's got a massive family, okay? And then one day, when they like went home, when they went to their homes, when they went, do you live there? Okay, so that's right. The one farmer thought to himself, I actually have such a big family, and there's many people that can look after me. So, I skipped a very key part of the story. We're going to just take back, rewind. We just rewind. Yeah, like. Okay, so pause. Okay, so what happened? In this barn, there was like maybe the aisle where you can walk, but on the left side, they would divide whatever they farmed equally. On the one side, they will put half of what they farmed, and on the other side, they will put the other half. So they share 50-50 in the business. Okay, now we fast forward again to the part of the story. They're in their house, and he's thinking to himself, okay, but I've got a big family, a lot of people to look after me. So maybe whenever I farm in the evenings, I can sneak out, and secretly I can take some of the grain or whatever that I've stored, and I can put it on my brother's side, because he was like, no, he's all alone, he doesn't have people to look after him, so he sneaks out in the evening, he takes some of the grain that they worked with, and hoping that he will not realize, but he wanna love his brother, he wanna provide for his brother secretly. But this brother had a similar thought one evening. He's like, I'm also gonna sneak out, I'm all alone, I don't have to take care of a lot of people, I actually just have myself to take care of, I will be okay, so I'm going to sneak out, I'm going to take some of the grain and secretly put it, he's got a massive family that he have to look after, that he's got to take care of, okay, so every day after, like, they would like secretly count after day's work, then count, and then they cannot understand why the grain is the same, like, I've been sneaking out, and I've been putting grain there, he's been sneaking out, putting grain there, and they cannot understand what's happening. And then one evening, they went to sneak out at the exact same time. And they were sneaking and like doing what they do, and then they bumped into one another. And it was a beautiful moment. Because in that moment, both of them realized what was happening. Okay? Does it make sense? Okay, you can say thank you. Well done. You guys are champs. I really trust you will remember the story. So a part of what I want to share today is having that heart. Isn't that in it? As far as I remember, it's a true story. Okay? Like the details can be whatever. But there's like, isn't that a beautiful heart? Because the Bible does teach us that in the heart of love and the heart we should have of Jesus, we should consider others before ourselves. And the posture in the heart of God to have like, I will look to anyone besides myself, and I'm not saying neglect yourself, but what I'm saying, there's a heart. Where can I, as often as possible, live a life where I can love others? Does that make sense? It's like, okay, and that's the heart I want to really get to, because when we walk with the Lord, and as we grow, as our love grow deep, we need to get to that space. Okay, so I want to share a quick story just of what happened in my life recently. So for the last year, for most of you know, it's been quite a difficult journey for me and Angelica. And in that journey, like even to take a step back, about between three and four years ago, my dad passed away, and it was a very difficult, challenging time for us. And so I want to just make this incredible, important point of The first year after that, me and my mom would have like a conversation on the phone very often, and she would really like, you know, share her heart, and she would tell me, you know, how she's feeling, and she would cry and mourn, and it was a really like this very, very difficult process. And I would, for the first year, I would listen, and I would empathize, and I would sympathize, and I would really mourn with her. It was like a beautiful process to just be there for my mom after, you know, this very difficult thing that she's going through. And then suddenly, but, you know, as she was sharing, and as I was hearing and seeing my mom struggle, it really was difficult for me. And I mean, it was also just difficult for ourselves going through something like that, okay? And then, but with hearing so often my mom is, you know, struggling, something without me realizing it started to change in my heart and shift in my heart. Okay, and it was the subtle thing that crept in. So now I would have this conversation with my mom, and then it was so painful to hear and to see how she's struggling. But she would share about the challenges she's facing and all the difficulties and things that's not going right with the home and with friendships and just the things in her life. And suddenly I almost got, there's a frustration and an irritation that crept into my heart. And I did not realize, but the way I was speaking to my mom started to change from a place of empathy and sympathizing and mourning with her to a place of listening only to correct and find a solution to the problem she's facing. Does it make sense? There was, like the picture where I want to paint before that, I was really mourning with her and like listening and almost like just encouraging her and praying for her and then like speaking words of love towards her. But suddenly changed without me realizing it to, okay, but you must just do this so it can go better. So my heart shifted to just want to correct and find solutions to the problem. I was starting to listen, but I was only hearing all the difficulties. And what I thought without me realizing it is, if I can give a solution to your problems, it will go better with you. Your problems will be solved. You will be in a better space because I love you. And when you are in a better space, it will feel easier for me. Does that make sense? It's like, oh, okay, your things are solved and now I will feel better. And then suddenly what happened, my mom started to almost share less and less what she's struggling with. And then I got angry with her and even more frustrated with her. Why are you not sharing what you are struggling with? We want to pray with you. I'll even say that. And that was the heart. I want to pray. We want to help you. We want to pray with you. Why are you isolating yourself? But I did not realize the way that I was coming across subtly started to become just like correcting, correcting, correcting. And it wasn't a sincere heart of the intentions may have been. But the way it was coming across was just trying to correct and to solve the problems. And there's two principles I want to highlight for us this morning. And the first one is connection over correction. Connection over correction. Although there's a very important and valuable place that we can play in helping one another as disciples, to be effective, we need to help one another. We need to give solutions. We need to help in whatever way we can. But the very, if the correction part is coming as we are walking together, without the connection part being the primary thing, we will quickly lose the effectiveness of the deep intentional road that God has called us to walk in as disciples of God. Does that make sense? There's a scripture, James 1 verse 19, that says this: be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. It's a scripture that the Lord has many, 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 many times even shared to me. I want to just tell you, you know, the solution, or just share. And it's something the Lord has been challenging me on so often in my life. And I love the saying that says, there's a reason that the Lord has given us 2 ears and only one mouth and not the other way around. imagine the how problematic we would have been if it was the other way around. And I think there's something we can learn into that. And I do want to just emphasize, we do need people, and we need to be people that open up our lives to those around us, that can correct us and speak into our lives and to live accountable lives. Okay? We need to allow that. And there need to be people that's, you know, living that out. And we also need to be people that's also doing that for other people. But I really want to just remind us about this very important thing that says the person is always more important than the principle. May we not forget, and may we keep our hearts in a place as we do life together, that the person, the people that's sitting next to you and that's in this room, that we will never lose the heart where the person is more important than the principle. It's good to want to help and support one another, and because it does say, teach them to obey. Teach them. We need to teach one another to obey everything the Lord has commanded us to. But if the connection are not there, it will quickly steal a lot from the relationship. And then the second principle is fixing versus finding. So the example I was thinking of, I had this friend who was struggling with migraines. Like every day he was getting his migraines. You know, and for me, I was quickly saying, yeah, but maybe you should try this medication or use this thing to stop. Like, can't you do this? Or just drink more water or whatever. And then later on, he shared, yeah, like every day I was drinking 2 to 4 liters of Coke every day. And I was like, oh, maybe if you not drink that much Coke, it will maybe, and that was the cause in the end. Because he was, so the point I want to make, often I'm so focused on, I hear your problem, okay, and I just want to like do this, or don't do that. But I don't get to the heart of why are you struggling with what you are struggling with. And that's like the let our love grow deep. I want us to grow deep in the Lord, but also from that place of growing so deep in the Lord that we can start to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, so that we can, as we look at one another and as we are in a place where we are being disciples and being discipled, that as we do life together and grow more in God, we can actually like listen to the voice of the Spirit as we speak into one another's life, but not only to fix, but to find the problem of why some of us are struggling with what we are struggling with. So if you are struggling here with anger, or many of us I know have been struggling with lust in our lives, or maybe there's swearing, yes, it's good to say maybe you should not have this in your life, but there's also a deeper place that we can stop and say, but why are you, do you know why, where does this anger comes from? Or like, where does this come from? And then we can stop a bit and seek God and really pray and really listen. And then maybe you can find, like you get to this root problem where you realize, well, there's a traumatic thing that maybe that has happened in this person's life. And his heart is not just to be angry, or it's not only because he doesn't try not to react in a certain way, but there's actually a deeper thing that we can get to. Does this make sense? I hope it makes sense what I'm really trying to share this morning. May we find God together, not just focused on the superficial solution that we may think the people need. Our love needs to grow so deep. And that's a prayer for me as a shepherd and even as a leader, that my heart will never be as I spend time with people, because it's something that I've struggled with. And because I was struggling for the last year a lot, I often was like, please speak into my life. Where are we missing it? With Daniel, like, please help us. What are we doing wrong? With church, like, I was so desperate and so open to please speak into us, just show us. And then at times, like, it was very helpful. 95% of the time, it was incredibly helpful that I did that. And people gave us good perspective and they gave us wisdom and guidance. And it did help. But there were some times where I would do that and some people would speak to me and I wouldn't feel
I wouldn't feel great afterwards. To be honest, I would like, yes. It's like I'm sharing what we're struggling with, and it felt to me, to be honest, like you're just trying, like you don't really have context, you really don't have a proper understanding, you're just quickly listening to some of the things I'm struggling with, and now you're just trying to give me your, but you should do this, you should do this, you should do this. And I was sitting there, I'm like, but you didn't even ask, have I tried this? You didn't ask, like, okay, but are you trying this, and why are you struggling to apply this? You know, that's how I felt. And I quickly felt this vulnerability in my heart, to harden my heart. Does it make sense? It's like, I almost want to felt offended. Like, I didn't feel you really care. It felt to me, to be honest, like, no, you just like, you just want to show me how much you know. And there's a saying that says this, okay? People don't care how much you know until they really know how much you care. Okay? They don't care how much you know. So let's not default to that place. And I'm not saying this is the vulnerability to everyone. Because on the other side, I need to make sure maybe I'm the problem. Because often when I'm not in a good space, and we allow people to come and give us solutions and to help us and to walk with us and to journey with us, we must be careful that we are not vulnerable to perceive something in a way that it's not, that it shouldn't be perceived. That's the other side of the coin. Does it make sense? There's a way that we can communicate and we just want to like, I just want to tell you what to do or not to do, but not genuinely caring about the people. The connection is not there. But we can also be vulnerable that when we allow people to speak into our lives, we are people that assume, no, this is what they're saying. But that's not really what they're saying. It's just because at the moment, we can be in a space of vulnerability. I hope it makes sense. So let's be careful for that. Let's be so careful to avoid assumptions. And then I want to almost go into a space of landing. So my question is, how does this look like for us as a church going forward? How can we as a church make sure that we are doing it as well as possible from our side? There's a screenshot. For me, this was such a beautiful... I saw this on social media this week. And I'm like, yo, this is so simple, but it's so beautiful. And it says, it doesn't have to be complicated. Love Jesus, love people, share Jesus, make disciples. Isn't that so good? There's a survey a couple of years ago that they did in Josh Gen, where it was an anonymous form that was sent out to all the congregations. And they asked the people in the church, so they didn't have to write their name on, what made you stick? Like, what made you felt like you want to join this church? Like, you want to become part of the church? And I can't remember the exact details, but with all the options they gave, with the preaching and the worship and the coffee shop and the whatever you can think of, I think more than 90% of the people ticked the box that said, the way I felt loved by the people when I walked into the doors. Isn't that powerful to think? The way, the connection, the hearing, just the correction part will follow. But are we, because that my question was, how can we make sure as a church we are doing it well on this journey? We start by making sure we love Jesus. We really pursue to make sure we love Him. Because we know we can only love because He has first loved us. And then, oh, Janelle, are you ready to share that dream? Can you please come to the front? Janelle had a beautiful dream. While you're coming, I just want to share one or two scriptures with us, for us. Sorry, you're going to just wait 3 minutes. John 15 verse 9 to 17 says this. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Loving Jesus, okay? If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life
for one's friend, the story of the two farmers. Isn't that part of what that story was sharing? You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. And then there's another scripture I want to share with us. So we need to make sure we remain in God's love. And it's the word Helmut brought. How fertile are our soil? Are we properly and deeply rooted in Jesus? If we are not spending time with Him, seeking Him, and if we are not planning our lives around being at the feet of Jesus, we will struggle to be the disciples that God has called us, each one of us, to be. If we want to say, when you put up your hand to say you really want to be a person that loves people well, okay, it starts with make sure you know how much God loves you. Okay, because we can only love because God has first loved us. So make sure you remain in His love. Philippians 1:3-4 says this. I thank my God every time I remember you. It's Paul speaking to the church in Philippi. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with you. And then from verse 8 to 11, it continues. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And it's interesting, he starts there and he mentions two things. He thinks about them, so it can show you where his heart's like. I often think about you, and when I think of you, I pray for you. So if you don't know where to start, we can get to all the practical stuff, what we can do. But if you want to start, like, seek Jesus and then start to pray for the people. I had like this thought this morning. Imagine every single one of us sitting in this church, okay, that's part of the church. We actually pray for one another in our quiet times every day. I don't know about you, but I've seen God do incredible things through prayer. And there's a reason that Paul and the Word so often emphasize how they pray. You think Paul, that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, would say he's praying for people if he didn't believe it will be beneficial for them? I can promise you, you are someone that knew, if I pray for that people in that church, there will be benefit for them in their walk with God. It will expand the kingdom. It will be valuable for them. So I want to challenge us. Are we praying for one another? Part of loving one another, to be people that love one another well, is to use our time to actually really pray for one another. And I'm putting up my hand first to say, I want to do this better. That's part of loving one another. We can really pray for one another. We need to pray for one another. And then the last scripture before Yanel shares, and then we're going to go into a time of response. Romans 12:9-16 says this. Love must be sincere. Yo, and that's a prayer from our heart, in my heart for all of us. May our love for one another be so sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Are we devoted to one another in love? Honor one another above yourself. Okay? Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Again, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. So here's a couple of practical things that we can start to the way we love one another. Share with those who are in need. Practice hospitality. Open your home. Open your life. Open your heart. Invite people into your life. Like, maybe get yourself into people's lives. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. For those who are you glad when someone's getting a victory, or is there jealousy in your heart? Are you like, I'm so grateful and glad for you
that you are this breakthrough. Praise the Lord. Or is there something? But when's my turn? Let's check our hearts and then mourn with those who mourn. If someone in this church is struggling at this moment, if they're going through a difficult thing, or you're like, thank goodness it's not me, or it's your heart, I will come next to you and I will really mourn with you. I will come and like, or you're just like, no, but you just need to do this. Where's your default? Or you're like, no, but you need to just make better choices. Or are you like, well, I'm mourning with you, why are you struggling? Is it making sense? This scripture feels, it's just pulling everything together, what I tried to share. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Or are you someone that's like, I'll connect with you and you and you. But no, I'm not going to make effort to connect with every single one. Because of whatever reason, my position is higher than yours. Let's be honest, it's stuff that creeps into our hearts. If we are honest, is our hearts to connect with every single one of the people? If they are different than you, do not be conceited. I don't know if that's the end of, yeah. Go and read Romans 12. And I'll share the other scriptures. And I trust that God will do something beautiful in your life. So, yeah, now I was going to share a dream. I'm going to pray for us and we're going to respond from that place.
So a while ago,